Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, church. It is so good to hear the chatter in the room. Welcome to those who are listening online. My name is Ben. I'm the youth pastor. It's my joy to bring God's word with you all this morning. Our senior pastor, Dave, is bringing the word at Lobethal. I want to start with a question. What occupies your life? What are the things that take up room in your life? I remember being 10 years old and my nan and papa were moving homes. And if you've ever been to an old person's house who have lived there for decades, their houses are often quite full. I wonder if you can relate. And my job as a 10-year-old, because my siblings didn't want to do it, that my role was to lift things with my papa and clear out all the clutter, to throw a whole bunch of things away. But my favorite part was to sell a whole bunch of things. And my papa just told me that whatever we made, that I got all of the profit. And I thought this was a great deal that I could just help them throw a bunch of things out. But my papa, he loves things to be the biggest and the best. You can probably see where I get it from. So we were up at 5 a.m. making sure the whole driveway was full. We had the garage sorted. The signs were up. It was in the newspaper. No other garage sale in the area was open at the time that we were, because we were going to be the biggest and the best. We had people come with flashlights. I'll never forget the first person came. It's still dark. And this couple came and they purchased $300 worth of stuff. And I thought to myself, this is going to be a great morning. We made over $2,000. And as a 10-year-old, a long time ago, that was a lot of money. And I wasted most of it. But I look back and have fond memories of that morning. How much stuff do you have? How much spare room do you have? In my house, there is very little spare room. I have a room with a walk-in wardrobe designed for two people, and it's just me, and it's all full. There's not much room left. Do you ever notice when there is spare space, it gets quickly taken up? When we used to have youth here, just through those red doors on the left, all that shelving on the first shelf was all for the youth. And in the kitchen, there was a shelf that was just for the youth. But if I ever went on an event or took some stuff from camp, I would come back and what was spare space would be quickly taken up by another ministry area. Because where there is spare space, something or someone will always fill that space. What are the things that occupy your space? What are the things that occupy your time? What are the things that occupy your heart and your life? Or more important, who occupies that space? This morning, the title of my message is this: From Lies to Life. We're jumping back in the Gospel of John, our Come and See series, the teachings of Jesus. A bit of context for our passage, we're unpacking John chapter 8, verse 31 to 47 across our campuses this morning. Jesus at the Festival of Tabernacle is a week-long Jewish harvest festival commanded in the Bible to commemorate Israel's 40 years of wandering in the desert after their exodus from Egypt and the faithfulness of God in providing for them. He provided manna from heaven, water from a rock. The Ten Commandments and the list goes on. God showed the way through a cloud by day and fire by night. In this festival, Jesus is challenging the Jews, challenging them on their identity, and then they challenge him on his identity. He speaks to them saying, I am the light of the world. I am the God who provided for you. I'm the God who's always been faithful to you. I am. And this is where we pick up in John chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you are Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, this is challenging. If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. What does it say in verse 31? To the Jews who believed. And here Jesus is challenging, saying, no, you don't believe in me. You're not part of my family. You're not a child of God. You're a child of the devil, which is a significant and confronting thing that he's calling out. He says, the word of God is not in you. You've given yourself to every other thing and you have no room for me in your life. The Greek word here for believe is pisteo. And what's the difference? In John 3:16, the word is pisteo eis, meaning to believe in. You see, the Jews knew that there was a God. In James 2, it says, the demons know that there is a God. In our world, in our society, we know historically that Jesus lived here on earth. What does the census say? That 44% of Australians ticked on the census that they are a Christian. But 44% of Australians do not believe in Jesus. They believe about him. They might like his moral teachings, his code of ethics. But what does it mean to step into faith, to believe in? You see, I could look at this chair and go, oh, I believe the chair's there. It could hold me up. The chair's real. But what does it mean to believe in the chair? What does it mean to put our trust in God? It looks like something. It's not information, but transformation. Or better translated, to believe into, to be united with, to stand upon, to let Christ be our foundation, to let God be our truth. That our lives would be incorporated with his. Jesus pushes us beyond a faith as information. Belief isn't just believing that Jesus is real, true, but moving into him as the way, the truth, and the life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, this morning, that is our challenge. If we're to go from lies to life, we have to believe in the way, in the truth, and in the life. The Jews missed something here. Let's start with believing in the way. From verse 33, Jesus answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have..." Sorry, they, not Jesus. They answered him, the Jewish people. "We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The Jews in this story missed it, that they were deceived by the devil. They thought that they were good enough because of their bloodline. They were good enough because of their ancestors, that they had a sense of pride, self-righteousness, and entitlement. But what do we see later on in John 14? We see before the cross, Jesus is journeying closely with his disciples. He's preached to the masses. He's preached to the crowds. He's spoken in the synagogues. And there he is. We see numerous chapters leading up to the cross. He's speaking about the Holy Spirit. He's speaking about the cross. He's speaking about what is about to happen. And in this place, this is where he says this beautiful phrase. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." The way is narrow. There is only one gate, and his name is Jesus. He is the one who defines truth. How do we enter through this narrow gate? How do we put our trust in Jesus? You see, the Jews, they didn't want to get to God through Jesus. They wanted to get to God in their own strength, in their own way, in their own pride, pointing back to the original sin in the fall, doing things on their own terms. What does it mean to be in Christ? It means to say, in my brokenness, in my fallenness, I know that I am not able and I need you, Jesus. I need you to wash me clean. I need your forgiveness. If I'm to stand before a holy God, I can only do that covered by the blood of Jesus, covered by his grace, covered by his love, covered by his forgiveness. And when we walk that out as his children, what does it do? It's a once and for all thing. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he separates our sins. Romans 8 speaks about neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demons. Nothing can separate us from this love. And when we're in him, it's a journey of going, I've stuffed up, I've fallen short, but I'm turning back. To daily repent, to daily surrender, to daily have a posture of humility to say, I'm broken, I'm fallen, and I'm in desperate need of a God who's perfect. I'm in desperate need of a God who would step into my situation. I thank you, God, that you have stepped into my situation. There is only one way. How do we go from lies to life? Believing in the way. Believing, point two, in the truth. What is the lie the Jewish people are listening to? They don't need Jesus. They don't need forgiveness. It's the original sin. In their pride, they want to be a part of God's family, but on their own terms. What does it say in verse 37? "You have no room for me." Their lives are so cluttered. Their hearts are so cluttered. They are filled with lies and deceptions from the enemy. Jesus is not an add-on. He's not a side hustle. He's not a summer fling, but he is our life. He is our creator. He is the breath in our lungs. Our lives and our houses can become so full. What did we have to do from my Nana and Papa? When they were to move homes, we had to clear away a whole bunch of stuff. They moved into an empty, vacant home in a retirement village. and we filled that home. We had to choose what we wanted to put in place and where we wanted to put it. They had an opportunity to dictate what was most important to them and what would fill their home, because the spare room was going to be filled, but what will it be filled with? What does the enemy want to do to the church? If I can't convince them that I don't exist, convince them that they can do it on their own terms. We have all the information that Jesus lived on earth. He changed human history. But how many people believe about him or agree with him or like his teaching or put his values up and about or on the school billboards? This is the values that we stand on. The morals are good, but it's not enough. He is truth. He is our reference point. We can't follow a pick and choose mindset when we come to the truth. Information isn't enough. We have to be united with him, believing the truth more than information, but transformation. If we want the real Jesus, we have to clear the room. But like my experience here at Verdun, the room is going to be filled really quickly. What does it say in James 4:7? To submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. What is our heart at HBC? Nathan spoke to it, that we are a family on mission. We are one church across multiple locations. And what is our heart? That we would love God and love people and make disciples who would boldly share the good news of Jesus. We as a church family want to be a kingdom stronghold here in the Adelaide Hills. We want to take up room. We want to build deep spiritual roots in this area and, God willing, beyond that. And it's not about a physical building in Mount Barker. It's not about a physical residence in Allgate. It's not about us being in different schools. What is it about is about us being the church, us being the people of God who are the temple, the dwelling place of his spirit, who have entered through the narrow gate, received his truth that is his seed deeply embedded in us, that's rooted and firmly established, that would sprout. And what would happen? The lies of this world, the lies of the enemy would have no place to take root, because our lives would be filled with the things of God. Our lives would be filled with the truth of God, the truth that sets us free. And what does repentance do? It acts as the gardener that would take away the weeds so the roots could go deep, so the plant could produce a crop that would multiply and the seeds would continue to fall. And that's the heart of discipleship. That there would be no room for the enemy's lies to take root in our lives, because repentance would do the weeding. And we would let the seed of his word take such deep roots in our lives, because his word is the truth. What does it say in verse 32? Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So how do we go from lies to life? Believing in the way, in the truth, and in the life. My final point, believing in the life. Malcolm Muggeridge says this quote, which I love, which I think speaks so much to this passage. He who is enslaved to the compass has the freedom of the seas. We're all going to choose somebody to be our master. We're all going to choose somebody to listen to. He who is enslaved to the compass has the freedom of the seas. He who has entered in the narrow gate, who has let his word be the truth, would set us free so we would have life and life to the abundant. That we wouldn't listen to the lies of the enemy. We would weed them out of our lives in community. Let me read the start of this passage again. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." Do you know how Bill Osborne over here spoke this message to the kids here at Hills Christian a long time ago? He got his little dog in and his dog ran around the room. And why was the dog so full of joy? Because the dog knew its master's voice. And Bill would train this dog. He'd train his dog to listen to his voice. And at every command, the dog would do exactly what Bill wanted the dog to do. Was the dog enslaved to Bill? I don't think so. In a way, yes. But in a way of being obedient to his master, there was fullness of joy and fullness of life. A well-trained dog is a dog who has more joy than any other dog. What does it look like for us to know our master's voice, for us to respond to our master? Verse 32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. John 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. John 14, verse 7, if you haven't picked it up, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. This word in the Greek is ginosko, this deep sense of relational, intimate knowledge, experiential knowledge of the truth, which would create a spiritual freedom. Those who don't know the truth remain enslaved to sin and deception. Jesus is drawing a clear line between superficial belief about and saying true discipleship, true knowing God is believing in him, which brings liberation. Jesus connects this deep knowledge of the truth with freedom. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Worship team, you guys can come up. I love what Tim Keller says. He says this, to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved well, it is a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. At Hills Youth, we're unpacking a series on marriage at the moment, and we've phrased it not Hollywood happiness, but Jesus holiness. How marriage is to make you more like Jesus. Why? Because all throughout the scriptures, we see this beautiful picture, this beautiful analogy to be fully known and fully loved. That when you journey with someone, and it doesn't have to be in marriage, but when you journey with someone deeply and intimately, you're saying, this is me. You're vulnerable before another, and when you're vulnerable before another and they know your warts and all, when you think about Father's Day, what's God's heart for fathers? That they would know their children intimately. They would know the worst parts about them and they would know the best parts about them. And what would the father's love look like? In your mess, in your failures, in your shortcomings, I love you as you are. And I want to journey with you and where I want to take you. That is God's heart for us, to be fully known and fully loved. Be loved because he first loved us. And we would journey with him in this deep knowing, realizing that we are fully known first, and our response would be to get to know who is the way, the truth, and the life. I love how Mark Sayers puts it in his book, The Vertical Self. It says, the world tells us to look internally, to find ourselves, to find what we know to be true. But Mark Sayers says, there's only true life in knowing the vertical self, to look upward, to look to Christ, And he would put your eyes outward onto others and to the things of this world. And in looking upwards and outwards, you would find yourself in that space. Rather, looking inward can so often make us feel more anxious and more insecure than where we started. What are the lies that we see to get the white picket fence, to chase the American dream, to get the caravan, to travel Australia, to retire well, to define our own truth, to define our own identity? But there is only one way to true life on this earth and for all of eternity. I'm not sure what today is like for you for Father's Day. It's a privilege to come and stand up here, not knowing or never getting to know my father properly, but being on a journey of knowing who my Heavenly Father is and knowing what it means to follow Him for the rest of my days, what it means to truly believe in Him, to be united with Him, to be marked by Him, to be shaped into Him. So in a moment, we're going to have an opportunity just to respond. If we can have the elders, prayer team, just to come up on the sides so people know who you are, so people can receive prayer and know who to go to. If you guys can come up now, that would be amazing. And we're just going to respond in worship. We're going to have the first few rows cleared out. And I'd love for you to go, being a child of God, meaning I'm not able, I'm not enough, but in God I am. And there'd be that beautiful place of humility that would breed confidence and authority and empowerment. That it's that posture of daily surrender, that posture of daily repentance, that posture of weeding the things that aren't of God so the seed of His word, the seed of His truth would sprout and produce fruit in our lives. What does the Bible say? To lift up our arms, to lift up our hands, to dance before the Lord, to bow down in reverence, to fall on our faces, to ask, to seek, to knock, to adore, to surrender, to pray for each other, to prophesy over one another. So in this space that we're about to have, I encourage you, if God puts someone on your heart, go pray for them. Ask, can I pray? If they say no, say, God bless you. If they say yes, pray over them, speak God's truth over them. Maybe you just want to come and kneel before God saying, Lord, I want to give you my life afresh. Maybe you're saying, hey, I've never actually put my trust in God. I've never believed in this God. Someone from the prayer team would love to lead you in relationship with Him. Maybe your response is to go to someone from the prayer team and say, hey, I want to be baptized. September 21st, count me in because I want to be united with Him. I want my faith to be one that I am in Him and He is in me. Repentance is the only way to say, God, I know I've gone my own way, but I choose You as the way and the only way. Why don't you stand as we get ready to respond? Holy Spirit, we just give You this time. God, what do You want to say? God, what do You want to do? Right now, we just open ourselves up. Maybe you just want to open your hands like you want to receive something as a physical demonstration of what you want to see God just do right now as He meets you where you're at. God, I thank You that You bring healing. I thank You that You've shown Yourself time and time again that You are our only reference point for life and godliness. So Holy Spirit, would You lead us as a church family right now? Would You put each other on our hearts? Would we respond in love? Would we respond in truth? Would we speak life over one another in this space right now? Would we be humble enough to come and respond? Would we be humble enough to say, God, I need You every hour, every day of my life. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Do what only You can do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's clear out the first few rows and let's respond together.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.